are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on this Thursday edition. Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Thursday Night Football. Niners playing in prime time tonight, and it is also a weekly wink. Nick Winkler, my guest, joining me momentarily. Thanks, everybody, who has subscribed and reviewed to this podcast. You can find us on all of your favorite podcast apps. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Nick is at Bay Area Wink, and I guess, I don't know, let's just get into it, man. We've got a ton to get into. We'll talk a little bit about the Panthers game with Nick, take a look at what's coming up Thursday night and the Arizona Cardinals, and take some Twitter and email questions. Let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, what's happening, my man? We're 7-0 at this point in the season, coming up with a primetime game tonight. How are you feeling right now about your San Francisco 49ers?
You know, they could be better, man. I struggle to watch each game. It's like, oh, man, why can't we put up 60? Like, what's the problem? God.
Yeah, that's the way about some of the people that are not happy with the numbers in the passing game or Jimmy Garoppolo or something like that. It's like, dude, what would you rather have? Jimmy Garoppolo hurt and be winless, or have Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback be 7-0 right now? But
well,
I guess
like where you've been the last few years. Like, this is the best thing ever. Like, we've been going through hell, and all of a sudden we have a great football team with a championship defense, a franchise quarterback, a running game that can't be stopped. He just traded, you know, for a top wide receiver who catches a touchdown in his first game. Like, come on, man. This is exactly why we watch football, for our team to do this stuff, man. It's great. 7-0, you kidding me? That was a statement victory, too, against a good Panthers team. They made them look bad. Obviously, it's going to be a little tricky tonight. Got the Halloween, got the trick-or-treating. You know, I got to record the game and then stay off social media. And, you know, it's going to be a little bit tricky. But, you know, you got the Cardinals in Arizona. It should be fun.
Yeah, I've got a similar situation going on with Leo. He's only 16 months old, so he doesn't know what the hell's going on, but we've got a costume for him, and we're going to cruise around the neighborhood a little bit and do some trick-or-treating, so it'll be...
Yeah, neighbors. It'll be fun.
Right. I think I'll have to do the thing where I just wait until the end of the game and maybe put him to bed, then watch the game, and then do a little podcast immediately following. I think that's the way I'll have to do it tonight, because you got to do the trick-or-treating with the young man, even if he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, you carry him around, and everybody opens the door and says, ah, and then they give you, like, a bunch of candy, which is actually yours now. Yeah, a win-win.
I don't need that. I prefer
Nobody
not.
Nobody needs it.
I need to go to the people's door where they give you, like, an apple or give you fruit or something.
Or, like a toothbrush or something.
Yeah, I need that right now. I tried to play pickup basketball yesterday for the first time in a while. I've only played a couple times since I played a lot of softball, but... I mean, let's be honest, I'm putting more calories back in my body, having a couple of beers afterward than I'm getting out while I'm playing the sport. So I need a big change as far as getting back into healthy mode and getting back into shape a little bit. I've probably gained a pound per month since my son was born. Played some pickup basketball. First of all, nobody can run a pick and roll anymore. Over the last 16 months, apparently that has gone away.
No longer a thing.
I could not run down the court. I could not, like, I was dead. I was dying.
Were you playing full court?
Oh, yeah. Dude, what?
That's crazy.
I mean, I'm going to jump into it.
You're a dad now, dude. You got to slow it down. Half court only. 3-on-3.
Only senior league basketball?
Oh, man. Don't even get me started. I got back out on the softball field. Yeah, hamstrings all healed. Poison Oak's gone. I'm rounding third. Oh, I pulled my calf. It's amazing, dude. Getting old is the best.
Yeah, that's rough. That's not good. I got to do something, though. I got to get hardcore. Like, I need, like, maybe with the listeners, something tied into the podcast, some sort of a challenge. I need some motivation. I got to, like, because I got to make a big change, because I'm falling off a cliff here physically, and I want to still be able to run and move and, like, back in the day.
Oh, no. Hey, Peacock, don't worry, dude. Once Leo starts running, you're going to be right back at it because you're going to be nonstop.
Okay,
moving,
good.
Moving.
Good, because right now he's walking more so. He's kind of scooting. He's got a little bit of a pace to him, but chasing him around has not been enough.
No. It, trust me, you know, you'll start picking stuff up. You'll have to run and be like, what did you just put in your mouth? Like, you know, it's a lot of that. It's a lot of quick bursts, a lot of energy can burnt up throughout the day. Don't worry, it's coming.
You're like his own personal first responder.
Yeah, exactly. You'll read the bottle. What was that?
Yeah, what'd you put in your mouth? How did you find that? I vacuumed 5 minutes ago, yet you found something on the ground to put in your mouth.
Exactly. Were you holding on to that while I was vacuuming? Is that the deal?
Speaking of kids, he's basically a kid still. Nick Bosa, how are you feeling? Are you feeling like a Ooh. Proud father watching Nick Bosa, the 49ers' number two overall draft pick, the rookie, dominate the league right now?
It's amazing. It's just otherworldly. The guy, I love that his Twitter handle says like small bear or something, because that's pretty accurate. You know, like he's out there. He cannot be stopped. I know we got one tweet from someone who's like, should I buy my Bosa jersey now? It's like, well, yeah. You know, like what are you waiting for? This guy, he's our first round draft pick. He's going to be here, you know, probably the next 4 or 5 years, hopefully for the rest of his career if he stays healthy and stays productive. But yeah, I mean, this is when you go out and get that jersey. This guy has proven that, you know, he doesn't look like a rookie out there. He looks like a seasoned veteran. He's got all these moves. He's pushing guys. He's staying with plays. He's jumping up and picking off balls. Even his post-game pressers are on point. Like, yeah, this is the guy you build a franchise around.
Yeah, that's a great point. The question from Jason we got about that, he's wondering if it's time to buy the jersey. Nick says yes. My stance is always you buy the retired guy's jersey because you know their legacy is set. He also asked, do you buy red, white, or the throwback white?
I'm really digging those new, that white they wore last week. The all white, man, that's clean.
I really hate the drop shadow. I can't stand the numbers.
Okay.
It's the one thing I've never gotten behind with those throwback jerseys is the weird.
I didn't like the red with the drop shadow and the white pants. Like, I can never get behind that.
The red is the red white pants combo is not good.
That
the all
horrible.
White is much, much better. Absolutely.
Much better. Yeah. No, but for me, you can't go classic red. You know, that way you don't have to worry if you go to a party or something, the salsa drips down. You know, you got red. It's fine.
Great point.
But you're wearing what? You're wearing white. That's going to be trouble, man.
Yeah. The salsa, the ketchup angle.
I mean, think about it. Like, you're eating pizza, you're eating salsa, you're eating ketchup. Like, these are all red condiments.
I've never owned a white jersey, and there's probably
no,
a reason
same.
Why.
I never will. Yeah. Plus, I'll be honest, I think the white jerseys look better in, like, the female version. You know, like the V-neck, yeah. The real tight ones.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think most jerseys or clothes in general look better in the female version.
Yeah, just clothes, period. Like, no matter what color. Yeah, I think you're right.
One thing I do hope never comes back is the regrettable maroon, darker red jersey era.
Oh, that was the worst.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. Don't ever go back to it.
I was at like a thrift store or something. I was like, oh, look at that. It's a Steve Young jersey in maroon. Like, oh, why isn't that burnt yet? Like, come on.
I'd just like to forget that era existed.
That was
jersey-wise,
bad. That was
yeah.
Real
just,
bad.
It's
yeah, they tried too hard.
Okay, speaking of bad-looking red jerseys, let's talk Cardinals Thursday Night Football and get into that Locked On 49ers mailbag. This podcast is brought to you in part by Peloton. Can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. As a true football fan, you already know, just as sure as the seasons change, Tom Brady will keep the Patriots in the game. Every weekend, our favorite gridiron warriors put their skills to the test, so why aren't you doing the same? We're almost halfway through the NFL season, so now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. If you like to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. Pick your locks for the week, put them together in one parlay bet, and when they all come out together on top, the rewards will be huge. The best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000 to bet at MyBookie. That's double your initial deposit. you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your first deposit. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. The short week throwing off my game here. It's a little bit of an odd schedule. We've got primetime Thursday night football, the Arizona Cardinals, Nick. I will say one thing about the Arizona Cardinals, and it's one thing that I think makes me pause a little bit about playing the Seattle Seahawks. It's the style of quarterback. The 49ers aren't going to sack Russell Wilson seven times. You know what I mean?
Right.
The way he plays, being able to extend plays, and then maybe you get someone like DK Metcalf, who's 6'4 and runs a 4'3, behind the defense, making some big plays there. Kyler Murray, super athletic. He can get away from trouble a little bit. He might be able to extend some plays, and he's got a good arm, and he could sling it, and they definitely try to sling it. So that's one thing I could see working in their favor a little bit compared to a team like Carolina that we saw last week, even though I don't think the Cardinals have, you know, the bullets to really compete with the 49ers talent-wise.
Right.
And just it can get sort of like how that mud game in Washington, it was the great equalizer. You just throw out the game plan because how can you? But the 49ers were good enough and have a physical presence about them that they can still win in an ugly, muddy contest like that and win it at a score like 9-0. I think the Thursday night games can be a little bit of an equalizer too. You don't have a lot of time to prepare. Kyle Shanahan doesn't have as many days and nights to sit in the film room and design stuff specifically for the defense he's going up against that week. So, and division opponents, those things can always, you know, there tend to be a lot of splits, especially, you know, like the home and home splits as far as division opponents go. So those are the reasons I could see things working in the Cardinals' favor, even though on paper this should be a blowout win for the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, as a Cardinals fan, you would be like, okay, this is kind of when you want to take on the 49ers. You know, they're coming off this huge win. They feel very confident. They're probably looking past you a little bit, short week. Don't have time to practice. But then, you know, you look at their backfield, and it just does not look good right now. Is David Johnson going to suit up? Chase Edmonds is already out. They went and signed Kenyon Drake, or traded for Kenyon Drake. He doesn't know the playbook. How much is he going to play? Zach Zenner might see a bunch of snaps for them. So it does look like a lot of things are leaning in the 49ers' favor in this game. You know, not to mention they're just a better football team, period. But that being said, man, that Thursday night game, it's weird. It really is, and it's in Arizona, so the – you know, you might come out and hopefully it's not something like Pittsburgh, you know, where it's like, what's going on? What the hell? Ball's bouncing the wrong way, you know, that sort of thing. So you never want to just say like this is a guaranteed victory because it's an oblong ball. It bounces in odd directions. You never know quite what's going to happen week in and week out. But you definitely like your chances as a 49er fan.
The ball can bounce in funny ways and you're it's just not enough, even as good as the 49ers are right now, to just show up and get that
right.
W, especially on the road. So you still have to come out. You still have to play well. You still have to take care of the football. And if I'm the Cardinals, I mean, why even worry about running back at this point? They did trade for Kenyon Drake. And I don't know if he's going to be fully into the playbook and be able to play a full amount of snaps for them. I mean, just go full air raid. That's what you're
sure.
That's why you
spread it out.
Yeah, that's why you brought in Cliff Kingsbury. It's why you drafted Kyler Murray. Go five wide, go fast, see if you can tire out the 49ers defense, use the short passing game as your running game basically, and see if you can catch the 49ers sleeping and hit some long plays and just go for it. I mean,
well,
nothing to lose there.
We say that, but the 49ers, if you look at their defense, their strength is against the passing game. They actually give up quite a bit of yards to running backs. So that's kind of where their weakness is in the run game. So if Cliff Kingsbury decides to do that, I feel like that's playing right into the 49ers' hands.
Yeah, it's weird because, I mean, they don't even employ a fullback at all. They have one guy
right. Who
you could call a tight end, but he's not really a tight end kind of thing, you know? So I just don't know if they're built to be able to run the ball, period, anyway. So why try to why bring a knife to a gunfight is the way I look
at
it.
With like a third or fourth string running back.
Right. But and so yeah, that just adds to where, you know, I mean, they're screwed. But the one thing is,
yeah. They're
not, and Murray's been sacked a lot this season, and his offensive line isn't good. So I don't know if he'll be able to actually pull it off. But Kyler Murray's quick, and if he does extend some plays, then it puts some pressure on the secondary. So that's the one thing I think they could have for him. And maybe it's a nice little precursor, and the 49ers will have a chance to play against a lesser team in the Cardinals and against Kyler Murray before they have to take on Russell Wilson, who can do right. some of those things, but to a much better degree and is a much better passer at this point in his career. And they have a more talented team. So I think that might be helpful that they're going up against Kyler Murray first before they go face the Seahawks twice.
Yeah, that's a great call. Yeah. And oh, real quick, before we haven't really talked about the the Panthers game enough, just because I got about 25 mentions of Lincoln Tomlinson, my boy. Lincoln Tomlinson playing extremely well, being one of the top-rated guards last week.
Yeah,
and yeah. I've never said he's a bad football player. I like Lincoln Tomlinson. I think he's a good guard. He just gets too many penalties. But, hey, he didn't get a penalty last week. I was looking for it. I never saw one. I think it's actually been a couple weeks in a row that he hasn't drawn that yellow flag. So keep it up, Thomas. I think he's finally listening. I think that's it. He's just been downloading for a while. But I think he finally started listening to the pod, and so he's like, oh, Nick needs me to clean it up. I will.
He's like, you know what? I didn't realize that holding was a bad thing until I popped on this podcast the other day.
Right, right. I thought this was just part of the game. Like, yeah. Every once in a while, we just did this.
He's sitting in the offensive line room. He's like, hey, Joe Staley, have you heard this thing about the holding? Do I yeah. really do that a lot? And they're like, bro,
apparently
you hold all the time.
There's one guy that likes to talk a lot of trash and says I do it a lot. And then Joe Staley's like, you do. You really do. It kills all of us.
You know, the ref says your number afterward.
Oh, I thought he was just saying hi. Like, hey, what's up?
But hey, that's the one thing. I think the 49ers, before we hit some of these mailbag questions, I think the one thing, we talk about the players a lot, and the players are what you see, and that's the end result. I think when talking about the San Francisco 49ers right now in 2019, I think a ton of praise has to go to the coaching staff. And of course, a lot of that yeah. goes to Kyle Shanahan, but on down, offensive line coach. We're talking about the wide nine bringing so much pressure there. Of course, having Dee Ford and Nick Bosa absolutely helps, but the scheme has been changed a little bit, and they're bringing pressure. It's coming from inside. It's coming from outside. Joe Woods, the new secondary coach, they have been playing awesome. And I think specifically the DB coaching staff, the offensive line coaches, being able to plug in those young first-time starters and not skip a beat, I think a lot of that credit has to go to not only the players who were physically ready and mentally ready to jump in and take on a big role, but the coaching staff for getting them ready deserve a ton of credit and absolutely should get a shout out. We probably don't talk about them enough here.
Yeah. And I just feel like in the past too, there's been that whole like, oh, somebody got hurt. We're going to get destroyed now. And it just hasn't been the case. Like there's, you know, Witherspoon went down. It's like, oh, what's Mosley going to do? Oh, he's all right. Oh, Staley went down. Oh, no, what's going to happen? Oh, McGlinchey now. Oh, this is horrible. Juszczyk, season's over. No. No, everybody's stepping up. Everybody knows their role, you know, and I think that this is year three, you know, they've gotten their guys. Their guys are in there. Their guys that run their scheme that get it. They may not be household names. They may be young guys that we're not that excited about, but they're getting the job done because they know what their role is. And Mosley, I mean, just as a perfect example, like he's making himself into a starter in the NFL. Like this is impressive to watch, man. Brunskill, like he was another highly rated offensive lineman from last week. And it's just, you're right. It can't be said enough how great this coaching staff has done, how great the scouting department has done bringing these guys in, you know, picking who's going to be on the practice squad. And just from top to bottom, man, it's just been such a difference. Over the last 4 years, it's like night and day. It's like what we've been dealing with has just been like, oh, here we go again. And now it's like, no, everything's good. It's fine. Somebody went down. It's fine.
And it also,
it's not a big deal.
It almost feels weird that everything is just kind of working.
Yeah.
It's like, why is everything working so well? And the thing that made me think of the coaching staff was the penalties. The 49ers have been one of the least penalized teams in the league. So offensive line coach John Benton, he deserves the credit. Tight ends coach John Embry, he's also assistant head coach that I didn't realize until I was looking up the bios when I wanted to talk about the coaches here for the podcast. Of course, Shanahan and Robert Saleh, they're getting all the headlines, but the assistants underneath them deserve some credit.
Yeah, I mean, how much pub is Saleh getting, man? I love it. He's got so much energy.
Oh, I want to be Robert Saleh's agent right now.
I know, right? You know he's fielding so many calls.
All right, let's get into that mailbag. 49 Problems on Twitter says, when the 49ers get healthy, is there anyone who can stop us? People say Packers and Saints, but with our D-line, Rodgers and Breeze won't have any time to throw. I think that's like a secondary. I think some fans wanted to have a little bit more action at the trade deadline for the 49ers, but I was on KBR last night talking about the Niners with Drew Hoffer, and they have like a little secondary trade deadline for themselves, potentially getting some guys back from IR and having both offensive starting tackles coming back and Juszczyk coming back and Akella Witherspoon coming back. That's a ton of reserves. And then the proven depth now that you have behind them that you learned about that you didn't know before they got hurt.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm glad they didn't make any more moves. I loved the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. I thought that was exactly what they needed because, you know, if Hurd does come back, if Taylor do come back, they're not the same type of receiver as Sanders. Like, you needed that big guy that's fast as lightning, can run over the middle, can run on the outside, can pretty much do it all. And those guys haven't proven that that's their game. So that was the kind of guy they needed. But yeah, I mean, you get both your tackles back, you get another corner, you get your fullback. I don't feel like there's a team right now that's as good as the 49ers. That being said, any team could beat the 49ers any week. I mean, again, when this is football we're talking about here, but you like your chances against the Saints. You like your chances against the Packers. You like your chances against the Patriots. Like, this is, I'd say right now, and I know I'm a homer, clearly, but the 49ers have, you know, a top two defense, and I'd say that their offense is better than the Patriots. So you put those two together, and all of a sudden, I think the 49ers have the best team in football.
There's a couple things. You don't want to look past the guys that you're playing before you get to the Packers and Saints. And when it comes to looking at those matchups, for me, it's not about, oh, can they win? Are the 49ers better? Who's better? It's like, who cares? Because we're going to find out. Let's enjoy watching that game happen and unfold and then break it down after. That's exactly what I can't wait for. I want to see the 49ers go up against the Packers and the Saints and the Ravens. And those are the best teams on the schedule coming up.
Can't wait.
Against the Seahawks, I think, will be huge as well. You still got to win the NFC West. That's the best way to get into the playoffs. So that's just going to be fun. It's going to be a fun end of the season. And the 49ers have sort of, it's almost like they've leveled up in a video game, right? It's, they get to fight some new bosses, some more powerful bosses. Let's see them take them on. I can't wait to see them play the Packers and the Saints.
Speaking of video games, you see Kittle's thing talking about Bosa. Oh, you drafted a guy with a cheat code.
No, I did not see that.
Talking about Bosa. Yeah, you see. Oh, there's a mic'd up George Kittle from this last week. You got to watch it. It's unbelievable. The guy's hilarious. It's so much fun. Yeah, he's talking about Bosa, and it's so true.
This one from Devin on Twitter. He says, while I was watching the game, every time Jimmy targeted Pettis, it seems like he's so disinterested in fighting for the ball. I don't know what it is, but he looks soft. Do you think that the Sanders thing was directly related to Dante Pettis? And there were some rumors that the 49ers were either listening to offers or some teams had talked to them about Pettis. Do you think that the 49ers getting Sanders were like, look, I think the Pettis thing is maybe just not going to go the way we hoped it would?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I mean, obviously, it didn't go the way that they wanted it to, or they wouldn't have had to go out and get Emmanuel Sanders. You know, if Pettis had taken that huge second-year leap and was, you know, a threat down the field, a threat across the middle, all the things that they wanted him to be when they drafted him, then, yeah, I don't think they have to go out and get Emmanuel Sanders. Being soft, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I could see a little bit what he's talking about. There are a few times where it's like, wow, if he had just, you know, gone up and fought for that ball, he might have been able to get it. But then there's other times where he just sticks his nose in it. Like, I don't know. I'm really on the fence right now with Dante Pettis. I really want to be a Pettis fan, and you know, obviously I'm going to root for him. He's a 49er. But, yeah, I'm not 100% in on that. I can't imagine anybody would be.
A lot of people really want to keep Arik Armstead going forward with the way he's playing right now, and it's amazing.
How could you not?
The flip-flopping we're seeing, though. Everyone wanted Armstead gone even 6 months ago.
That's a good point.
But seeing him healthy and playing well, seeing Ward healthy and playing well, I think that's obviously been the storyline of their careers. It would have been nice to see this a lot sooner, even if they would have been healthy, maybe. But seeing this team play together as it is, would you rather try to keep this together now and worry about Buckner later and bring Armstead back, potentially even if you had to, say, franchise tag him and then keep him at that number and then potentially lose DeForest Buckner? Do you try to tag and trade Armstead? Do you just let him walk and then try to re-up guys like Kittle and Buckner now? How would you attack that in the offseason?
That's tough. I mean, obviously, I think you got to lock up Kittle. Like, I think that's important. He's such a valuable piece of this offense, just in the run game and obviously as a receiver. But, oh, man, on that defensive line, like, Buckner's a beast. He draws a lot of attention. But what Armstead's doing this year, it's next-level stuff, man. It's a lot of fun. I think, obviously, you've got that franchise tag. That's a lot of fun. And I do see the 49ers going for it. You know, there's a short window in the NFL. It might be 2 years. It might be three. It might just be one, you know? So I think that you really got to go all in here in the offseason and really just try to go for that Super Bowl. You know, if they don't get it this year, you know, maybe you just go all in next year and hope for a 2-3 year run where you really make things happen. So I think that you got to spend money. You know, you've invested money in Garoppolo, but all that money can go away real quick. You know, some of these big contracts that they've dished out are real easy to get rid of and give to other guys. So I think that, you know, as long as they keep doing stuff like that, I'm cool with going all in, man. Put the chips on the table. Let's go win some championships.
One thing you can't do is you can't pay everybody top of the market money. So eventually it's just got to be smart. So if it comes down to another team willing to do that when you hit free agency, if a team's willing to give a guy everything, you just can't give that to everybody. So you have to make some shrewd decisions. Bill Walsh was the greatest at that. He even moved on. I mean, if you can move on from Joe Montana, you can move on from anybody. It helps when you have the depth and other players to fill in. So they just can't pay everybody that's on that defensive line right now for the long run. But I could see them trying to make it stick for one more year and then rolling the dice on what free agency looks like when Armstead would again hit free agency if he got franchise tagged and Buckner would hit it at the same time. And it could get very interesting there. And potentially you could lose both if you went that route, you know, but you would have him around for one more year. I don't know. It's an interesting conversation. I'm sure we'll hit it a lot in the offseason as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And Armstead, first of all, and Ward too, both free agents, they got to stay healthy to keep that up, to keep earning that dough.
Right. Oh, hey, question for you. So I've been hearing a lot of talk about Tom Brady selling his house and his, you know, his trainer selling his house and he can void his contract after the season. And yeah, then people are talking, oh, he might go to San Francisco, this and that. Do you see a scenario like maybe Jimmy G just, he's the reason the 49ers don't take that next step, or the 49ers are like, yeah, let's ditch that contract and bring in Tom?
The one reason I don't like it is because then you still have to plan for post-Tom.
Yeah. And right, because he's old.
Right, and you can't expect him to be around super long time. You can't even expect him to play at a super high level even next year. At some point, he could fall off a cliff,
right,
and that could be at any moment. So now you create a new problem is how do we replace Tom, even if Tom is really great for a short period of time? So it would have to be an obvious situation where Garoppolo's not the guy. Then it's like whether it's Tom or somebody else, you're trying to find a quarterback. So to me, it's not about Tom Brady. It's about Garoppolo. Garoppolo proves he's the guy.
Right.
If Garoppolo's the guy, he's the guy. You don't screw around. If he's not the guy, you're looking for a quarterback. And if Tom Brady becomes available, then that might make some sense in a Band-Aid sort of short-term way.
Right, especially if you're looking at that 2 or 3 year window where it's like, we got to do this now. We got all this money invested in these guys. We know we're going to lose soon. Yeah, that's the only real scenario I see, or some sort of injury, you know, that would keep Garoppolo out for a long period of time, which obviously you never want to wish upon anyone. And I retweeted someone who posted something yesterday about, you know, just Jimmy G, you know, like, what does he got to do? You know, this team has been horrible without him. They've been great with him. You know, stop bashing this guy. Yeah, he's not out there throwing for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns every week, but he doesn't need to. Like, that's not what this offense is set up for him to do. He's managing the game. He's making plays. There are a few times against the Panthers where he squeaked out of trouble and made a great play down the field. Like, I love Jimmy G. I think he's doing everything right. Obviously, he made, you know, really bad interception in that Panthers game, but that's a mistake. Everybody makes them. Nobody goes a whole season without throwing a pick. And the guy's made a few mistakes this year, but all in all, I think they found the guy. I really do.
That's the big downfall with him. If you want to nitpick, then it would have to be just the touchdown interception ratio, because everything else is done. You know, he's good on third downs. The 49ers have scored plenty. They move the ball down the field. If you want to nitpick him, it's the interceptions. And what usually comes along with a guy who throws too many interceptions is you get big plays with it. So it's not like he's taking these huge chance throws and some of them are paying off and he's hitting these big long plays down the field or something like that, making huge plays happen, and then also throwing interceptions. He's throwing interceptions on, you know, a crosser to George Kittle or, you know, a comeback to the backside of the field where he didn't see the defender there, not these big-time throws where he's trying to make some sort of a huge play. So that would be the nitpick there. But I have a feeling there's going to be a game, and who knows, maybe it's Thursday night where Garoppolo comes out and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, never mind, we're good. I mean, and he has put the team on the back before. I think John Lynch mentioned it in a radio interview or with reporters sometime this week talking about Garoppolo, saying we saw it. We saw it immediately. That's why we paid him $130 million. He put the team on his back out of the gate. And so we've seen him go win games, even though he hasn't had to do it this year. But I think it is interesting, and I can't wait, just as a spectator of the sport and as someone who's interested to see it happen, there's going to be a time when the 49ers need to throw for points and they need Jimmy Garoppolo to go win it. So I'm excited to see him try to do that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there were times in that Pittsburgh game where he came out and looked horrible, and then he had to fight back, you know, and he did. And that was a lot of fun to see. It's a lot of fun to see, like, hey, how much are you going to come back here? You know, like, what's his mental toughness? We've seen his physical toughness, you know, it's a whole nother level. And I'm going to give a shout out here to the guy I retweeted, because that was a great tweet. It's at 49ers Mike _NFL. Great tweet. He's just talking. It was basically the team's 13-2 with him. Without him, that same team is 5-20. I mean, that's a huge difference.
Shout out to 49ers Mike. That's a good place to end it here, Nick. Thanks, as always, for joining the show.
My pleasure, buddy.
And hopefully we'll be talking next week, a long week, getting ready for Monday Night Football. We'll be talking about an 8-0 San Francisco 49ers team.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to you guys tomorrow, post-game, right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.
Breida is a beast, like a pit bull off his leash. Boasta off the edge, about to knock you off your cleats.